time for Jaguar Zone right here on Block Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on and talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Your favorite team, my favorite team, everybody's favorite team. If they don't admit it, they're lying. On today's show, clearly we're going to talk about the loss to San Diego just in a few short minutes. We're going to get you keyed up for this week's game against the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, those Titans. We can't say that we don't hate them, but we definitely don't like them. But, I think if we stick to the three keys, I think we're going to be good. Of course, I got a few news and notes I want to get to after we do that. But for now, let's jump right into it. Of course, like I said, we lost to San Diego. We'll get to the end of the game here in a minute. To me, San Diego's out to an early lead. Jacksonville was able to battle back, but they came up just a little short. They didn't take advantage of a bad run defense. T.J. Yeldon only had 36 yards on 9 carries. For one, they only have 9 carries. I understand. We were behind. It happens. But, I mean, clearly we should have had this game in hand. Like I said, they have a bad run defense. T.J. Yeldon was the guy to go with. Even Denard couldn't get any runs. He couldn't get any good runs, I guess. But he couldn't get any yardage out of it. Blake, I believe, was the second leading rusher. Mainly it was scramble runs. It wasn't a lot of design runs. It is what it is as far as that. Arduous is still becoming a big target. He had 9 catches coming into it. Pretty well. Paz has become the tackle monster, and that's what I'm going to call him currently because I don't have a better thing to call him. If you got a suggestion, clearly you can send those in to us. He had 11 solo tackles, and 3 of us were for a loss. The sack masters of the week, Roy Miller picked up his 3rd on the year, and Jared Odrick picked up his 4th. I think he's had 1 a game in the last 3 games. I mean, that guy is becoming a beast. Good old Jason Myers had another solid day. How about 1 for 2 on extra points? Clearly we didn't lose by 1. We lost by 6. So, I guess we'd lost by 5 had he hit it. Wouldn't matter. He also had 4 field goals. He had a 22, a 51, a 27, and the other one escapes me. You guys remember what it is. Regardless. Good day for Myers. He went 4 for 4 on field goals. I'm happy with that. He can miss an extra point or 2 as long as it doesn't cost us a game. It's fine. Those things are hard. The onside kick at the end, we were able to battle back within the 6 points I was talking about. And then it was batted out of bounds at the end of the game by San Diego. I'm not just saying this because it benefited us and went against us this week, but I don't think you should be allowed to bat the ball out of bounds at any time. I guess maybe a defender on a play, like a corner or something like that, if he batted the ball down so that the receiver couldn't catch it, but you shouldn't be able to knock it out of bounds on purpose. There should be a penalty or something for that. I think it's ridiculous. People do it in the end zone. Seattle got away with it a couple weeks ago. San Diego was able to do it and hang on to the ball. I don't know. I don't like that rule. I don't like that you can just bat the ball out of bounds. This is not bat ball. It's football. You should be able to either catch it or let it go out of bounds. You should be able to just knock it out of bounds. It's kind of dumb. But I don't make the rules, so it is what it is. Another thing it baffled me is 1 out of 4 in red zone opportunities and scores. Into the red zone 4 times, we scored 1 touchdown. Got 2 field goals out of it, so I mean, you could look at it 3 for 4, but there were 2 of those field goals we should have had 7 points on the board. Can't leave those kinds of things laying around. That's how you get beat. The block punt was exceptional. That was really, really fun. I love watching block punts. In fact, if you didn't get enough of the Jags doing it, make sure to go back and see the repeat from last night that the Ravens pulled off. Block punts are just fun, especially when the other team recovers. Which, to me, this block punt shows that the special team is getting it together. And they also didn't give any big returns. Didn't give up any big returns. Which means they won the special teams battle as far as that. You hit all your field goals. You don't have any blunders. You block a punt. And you didn't give up any big returns. I mean, that's... You're not going to get any better than that. And then, of course, the injuries had free safety Josh Evans, who had a concussion. And then Alan Hearns for the receiving corps actually was carted off with a concussion. And he went to the hospital. He was released with just a concussion. I believe he's going to be okay. He seems to think he's going to play this week. We'll see. But either way, I do believe both those guys will be back. And I'm glad to hear they're both doing better already. So I got to bring this up. Only two games back in the division. And yes, I'm going to keep saying it. There are five games to play. They're currently 4-7. There's five games. It means we can go 9-7. We win them all. They're winnable. I actually got them up in front of me here. You're only two games back in the division. It's still in there. The wild card is still kind of open at this point because it's the wild card. Winners currently are only 6-5 mostly once you're in it. You know, today's theme that we'll get into, never give up. Never give up. Whether, you know, 1010 XL was talking about the big thing they did today as far as the call-a-thon, telethon, whatever you want to call it, to benefit the cancer research and the cancer fund and everything like that. You know, never give up. It's a John Cena motto, and whether you like wrestling, whether you like John Cena, or whether you hate both, still a good one. Never give up. Find something to fight for in life and never stop fighting. It's something I've always lived by. I fight for many things. And no, this is not fist fights outside of a club like an NBA player. Nothing like that. No, it's you keep pushing in life. Keep trying to better yourself, you know. Maybe it's for the guy next to you. Maybe it's the girl next to you. Maybe it's for yourself. Either way, never give up. That's our theme today. Never give up. This division's still wide open. Houston seems to have found a quarterback. Good for them. They're not going to win all their games, so there's a good chance that if we win, I don't know, if you win three or four of these five, could be right there. If you win four, four or five, you'll be right there. You win three, you're right there in the wild card, I think. We'll have to see as far as that, but either way. And just want to throw this out here. I always tell you guys, do not talk to me about the draft until week 12. Well, it's week 12. So, starting next week, we're opening the phone lines to you guys. You guys want to call us. You want to call up with anything Jags related, including your fantasy team, drafting for next year, anything like that. You want to talk about next year's actual draft. As of right now, the Jaguars hold the 11th overall pick. If you want to call in and tell me who we should get. Now, here's the thing. Give me your position. And give me who you want to draft. Give me a couple of them. And remember, we're 11th, so don't give me that you want to dump Blake and you want to get Connor Cook. Connor Cook's going to go in the top five, probably. Not going to happen. Unless we trade up. But if you want to give me trade scenarios, we'll do those down the road. If you call in the next couple weeks, I'd already talked to a few of you guys. If you want to talk about the draft in the next couple weeks, that's fine. We may move up, we may move down. But for right now, we're 11th overall, so... Like I said, if you think we need a free safety, then you give me which free safety in college that we should try to get at the 11th position. Somebody that's going to be somewhere in that area. Maybe he fell a little bit. Maybe he's supposed to go there. Maybe we're reaching a little bit. But don't want to reach too much. Either way, like I said, starting as of next week, 347-826-7448. Again, I'll give you a few short seconds. You pick up something to write with, or you can always catch us here at the show at the Impact 99 at Team Impact Media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, working on YouTube. We'll start doing some YouTube versions of the show, stuff like that, a little later. Maybe in the off season we'll try to do some stuff. We're working on, you know, making some cool stuff, some interactive stuff for you guys maybe. But either way, like I said, here's that number again. If you want to call in the next couple weeks, that'd be 347-826-7448. And keep it clean, guys. Like I said, if you want to, you know, you think we should get another running back, know, here's a, let's say you think we should get another running back to go 1-2 punch, and you say Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Ezekiel Elliott's probably going to go in the top 7. I doubt he's sitting at 11. You never know, he could drop, or if you think we're, like I said, we'll get into trades later, but, you know, whoever you think we should go get, let me know. Maybe you want to dump Blake and get somebody else. Maybe, you know, maybe you think we need a linebacker. Maybe another pass rusher. That's not a bad idea, right? Can never have enough of those. But, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. Like I said, 11th overall, and the game's actually coming up. Of course, we got this week at Tennessee. Is that a winnable game? Yes. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. At home with Indianapolis. Is that a winnable game? Yes. Matt Hasselbeck's pretty good. He's been able to keep them afloat. He's one of those good quarterbacks. He's serviceable. But can we win that game? Absolutely. And it's at home where you guys have been packing out the place. Appreciate that. So does the team. So does everybody. You're showing everybody Jacksonville is a sports town. They are a football town. Ignore people who don't believe that. Of course, the $90 million going into the renovations should be awesome as well. Definitely very cool. But after Indy, of course, the Atlanta Falcons will be in town right before Christmas. Is that a winnable game? Yes. Have you seen the Falcons play lately? Trust me, as somebody who covers that team as well, don't cover them quite as much as you guys. But, yeah. Yeah, that's a winnable game. The Falcons are a mess. They're actually coming back down to earth a little bit. They had a good run to start and just can't put the rest of them together. That's a whole different show. Falcons Zone will be tomorrow night here on Blog Talk Radio in case you want to catch that. Then, of course, we go to New Orleans. New Orleans is up and down. They have a terrible defense, and sometimes they have trouble scoring points against a pretty good a pretty good defense. So, you know, is the Jaguars the Texans? No, not quite. I mean, we don't have J.J. Watt, but I mean, we got playmakers and we got big-time people. I mean, Jared Odrick can sack Drew Brees just as much as anybody. So, you know, that's a winnable game, too. And then we finished with Houston, who I just talked about. They found a little bit of offense. They are tied for the division lead. They're going to need that win just as much as we will. So it's going to be a hard, tough game. But, I mean, that's a winnable game, too, because their defense has been inconsistent, and sometimes they can't score points either. So, I mean, those are 5 games we could easily win. I mean, not easily, but you know what I mean. These are 5 winnable games. Can we win all 5? It's possible. Will we? I don't know. We'll have to tune in and find out, won't we? We'll have to pack it out against Indianapolis and Atlanta. We'll have to, I don't know, maybe some of you guys are going to New Orleans or Houston or Tennessee. Hey, good travel to you, and you know, hope you have a good time and everything. I think those are winnable. And I'm going to cut it short a little tonight because I want you guys to enjoy, you know, getting back in the groove of everything. I want you to really be keyed up and geared up for what we have. We actually have some news and notes, and then a few news and notes. Okay. We had one thing I want to talk about real quick, and then, of course, like I said, I'm going to give you the 3 keys to how we're going to beat Tennessee. And then I'll let you out of here so you can enjoy the rest of your week. Or you can get ready for Panther Zone, GSU Panther Zone, which will be following us a little bit later on tonight. And, of course, the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show, which will be tomorrow night starting at 7. Appreciate you guys tuning in to all those. For all you Texas Revolution fans, we should be starting up a few of those pretty soon as well. But I want to tell you about our greatest wide receiver, Allen Robinson, has been named the Jaguars' 2015 Ed Block Courage Award winner. What does that mean? That means that the second-year receiver wins the award voted on by teammates because he serves as a role model for inspiration, sportsmanship, and courage after rebounding after the season-ending injury last year. Allen Robinson's a good dude anyway. You guys know he's one of my favorites on this team. Just super guy. He's one of those guys. He's inspirational. He's got the sportsmanship. Of course, he's courageous. He goes up and makes catches that he knows he's going to get decked. It still makes him anyway. But on and off the field, this guy's great. So if you see Allen Robinson, make sure to congratulate him on being this year's Ed Block Courage Award winner for the Jaguars. super guy. And, of course, that leads me to our three keys to victory. The three keys to beating the Tennessee Titans. We are going to put pressure, and we're going to knock down Marcus Mariota. I think Jared Odrick's going to have at least one sack. Maybe Roy Miller has another one. Who knows? How about we go for three sacks? Can we get three sacks in a game? I think we can. I'm going to call it now. Three sacks against the Tennessee Titans. Just a little clue, if you are a pass rusher for Jacksonville, don't try to go past Taylor Lewan. Either go around him or go to the other side. Taylor Lewan's going to hold you off. So go around, go anybody but him. I think he's the strongest guy on that line. Number two, we're going to limit the mistakes and turnovers. There are certain times when I think Blake tries to do too much, and that's when he throws these untimely interceptions or possibly fumbles when he doesn't need to. And the rest of the team is guilty too, but quarterback is under the microscope, so we see that first. We're going to limit the mistakes because the play call is going to be not quite as aggressive as it normally is. We're going to still take shots down the field. We're going to still spray the ball all around. We're still going to, as the third thing, establish the run early. We're still going to get Yeldon. I'd like to get him up to 75, 80 yards. I'd like Denard to have 30 or 40 or more. I'd love him to have more than those. But, you know, I'm good with them combining for 120 yards or something like that because I really think this will help him out. But in limiting mistakes, instead of having him try to fit it in a small window, which he can do, but this defense is going to be waiting on that. Instead of him trying to do that, let's make a more careful throw. You know, let's try to pick up 3-4 yards per play so that it's third and one, it's third and two, third and three, and it's not third and 12, third and 10, third and eight even. I think we can easily do that. Limit the mistakes and limit the chances for turnovers to occur. Then, like I said, number three, establish the run early. How are we going to do that? They got a pretty good front seven in Tennessee. Their defense is emerging. I don't think they're probably as good as us. They're not as good as Houston. They're probably better than Indianapolis. But that's a different thing. We're going to establish the run early. We're going to use Denard. We're going to use Gerhardt if he's there. We're going to use, of course, we're going to use T.J. Yeldon. Like I said, I think we can run on these guys. And if we do that, those safeties and corners are going to start playing up. And then it's the Allen show. Of course, Orange Julius is going to be streaking down the field, too. If they double the Allens, Julius is open. Ask Gronk how that works. Ask Jimmy Graham how that works. That's how tight ends typically work. That's, you know, like I said, GSU Panther Zone's coming up a little later tonight. That's what they do there. They got a guy named Keith Rucker. It's a great tight end. When they double cover the receivers on the outside, he's one-on-one in the middle. And tight ends are going to win one-on-one battles 90% of the time. Probably 87, but still 90% of the time. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Once again, we're going to establish the run early. We're going to limit mistakes and turnovers. And we're going to pressure and knock down Marcus Mariota because the more pressure and the more times we knock him down, the less likely he is to not panic and make a good throw. He's good. He's going to be a pro. He's on his way to being a good pro. But you got to get him early. If you get to him early and I don't want to say punch him in the mouth, but you guys know what I mean. If we do that early, I think we're going to be able to get to him. And I think we're going to be able to pick up this victory and knock one more out of the way. That'll give us five on the year. Like I said, all five of these games are winnable, and I think we're going to win them. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate Blog Talk Radio, of course, and Impact Media for allowing us to come on. Do Jaguar Zone. I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week. Go Jaguars!
Stand up and cheer for the Jaguars. We are proud and brave. Stand up and cheer for the Jaguars.